scripture passages for this morning come as a selection of verses from Hebrews chapters 11 and chapter 12. Listen now for God's holy word. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Noah, warned by God about events yet unseen, respected the warning and built an ark to save his household. By this he condemned the world and became the heir of a righteousness that is in accordance with faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out not knowing where he was going. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Solomon, Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouth of lions, quenched raging fires, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. People of God, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. People of God, during this service, our focus this week is on the themes of All Saints Day. All Saints Day is a church holiday that calls our attention to God's faithful people who have served and lived before God according to the calling of the life of faith. In many cultures around the world, this is a time to remember and to give thanks for our ancestors of faith, for friends, for families, for mentors in faith, for those who have passed down the traditions and the teachings that have inspired our faith and have helped us to establish our relationships with God. This year for All Saints, we have a passage from Hebrews that serves this purpose well. For in these famous passages from Hebrews 11 and 12, our author reflects on the examples of faith given by God's past saints who lived before God here in this world and who are now a part of the great cloud of God's witnesses in heaven, who watch over us and who continue to inspire us by the good examples that they have left in their lives. One of the examples that the author gives in this section is the example of Noah. This week, as I studied and was considering this passage, God drew out Noah's story in my thinking as being particularly helpful for us and for our calling to set aside our fears, to put off the voices of our fears, the voices of the world around us, and to listen instead to the leading voice of God speaking to us through our faith. Many of you, I am sure, we'll remember the story of Noah and the ark and the animals who came two by two, the great flood, and the rainbow at the end of the story, a sign of God's promise. The story of Noah's ark stands out to us in our minds because it's such a dramatic story. Every element in the story seems to have a grand scope and a grand scale. In this story, all of creation is present, and all of creation is touched in some way. The author of Hebrews, however, wants us to draw our focus, on a special aspect of this drama, which is perhaps on a smaller stage, but is a drama that is just as grand. It is the drama of Noah's faith. I think it can be easy for us to forget that Noah was not just a passive actor in the story of the great flood. We think of God telling Noah to build the ark. And because we have heard this story so many times before, because we know that after God tells Noah to build the ark, that the rains do fall and the flood does come, it never crosses our mind that Noah had any choice or option when it came to following the instructions that God had given. The author of the book of Hebrews, however, points out how for Noah, God's calling in his life, it took guts, it took grit, it took fortitude, it took great faith for Noah to follow the instructions that God had given him. Listening to God and taking seriously God's instructions within the story, we can appreciate the great challenge that this posed to the character of Noah. We could speculate about Noah's life leading up to that point when God first appeared in his life and spoke to him. We are told in the story that the world was corrupt and full of wickedness, and that Noah was the only person living a righteous life before God. God came to Noah and God told him, okay, I, God, am going to do something about all of this wickedness in the world. I, God, I'm going to finally take some action. I'm going to address this trouble. I'm going to turn things around, and I am going to use you, Noah, to help me accomplish this new thing. And here is what you need to do. And of course, the thing that Noah needed to do was something that from the outside looked and seemed completely ridiculous. A lot of the retellings of this story get this next point right. But the place where I first encountered this interpretive insight was from the Sight and Sound Theater production of Noah's Ark. How many of you have seen a Sight and Sound production? Many of you, okay. For those of you who don't know, Sight and Sound is a theater company that creates wonderful theatrical productions, shows based on stories from the Bible. And many years ago, I saw the production of Noah's Ark. In the story, God tells Noah to do something nonsensical for the time and the place where Noah was living. God tells Noah that he has to build a boat. He's called to build a boat in a place where there are no rivers or lakes or oceans or any body of water where a boat the size of the ark could reasonably be expected to sail. Noah's called to build a giant boat right there in the middle of a desert, in the middle of a field. And in the Sight and Sound production of Noah's Ark, they rightly show how difficult this calling would have been for a man like Noah. Not just in terms of the physical challenge of building a great boat, but in terms of the psychological challenges, in terms of the reactions and the scoffing and the mocking reactions that Noah would have received from his neighbors. Over and over again in the production at Sight and Sound, Noah's neighbors come by to see what Noah is up to and to laugh at this crazy old man who is building a boat in the middle of a deserted field. Noah does his best to explain. He tries to convey the message that he has received from God, the warning that he has received. He tries to help his neighbors, but alas, his warnings are not able to penetrate their hardened hearts. This, people of God, God has spoken to me this week through this to remind me of the challenges of living a life of faith. To live a life of faith, to follow God's calling in our lives at times, it requires us to do things which, in our heart of hearts, we know are good and right. Those things which are in accord with how God has called us to live our lives. Projects which we feel God has pointed us to and instructions that we are called to take up. They are good works that honor God and contribute to God's goals for this world, but all the same, they draw the ire or the mockery or the misunderstandings of our friends, members of our families, or neighbors in the world around us. Noah does his best to warn his neighbors that a flood is coming, but of course, in the end, only Noah heeds the warning that has been given. Despite the laughing of his neighbors, Noah continues working faithfully at the project that God has given him. And this is how the author of Hebrews expresses this fortitude in Noah's faith. He says, by faith, warned by God about events yet unseen, Noah respected the warning and built an ark to save his household. By this, he became the heir to the righteousness that is in accordance with faith. The author of Hebrews draws to mind the example of great saints like Noah to encourage his audience, his friends, his fellow followers of Jesus in his time, who were doing their best to live lives that honored God in a world full of brokenness and difficulties. The author is trying to help these early followers of Christ, who in their walk of faith were experiencing challenges and setbacks. They were dealing with friends and neighbors who didn't completely understand or appreciate their lives of faith and the callings that God had given them. Callings to love their neighbors as themselves. Callings to care for the poor, to value children, to bring community to the outcasts. Callings to show up in the lives of those who were considered unclean or unfit for God's love. Callings to set aside practices and patterns of life that didn't honor God. The author of Hebrews draws to mind figures like Noah, building a boat in the middle of a dry field to help encourage his friends and whose neighbors at times just don't understand. They didn't understand why these Christians would devote so much of their time, so much of their resources, so much of their attention and lives to this project of building this thing called the church. And yet these early followers of Jesus, they felt themselves called, called by God like Noah to play their part in this new thing that God was doing to address the brokenness and the troubles of this world, which God so loves. People of God, we are not too unlike Noah. And we are not unlike the first audience to which the author of Hebrews first wrote his letter. At times, we need a word of encouragement. At times, we need to be reminded that being a Christian, living a life of faithfulness to God's calling, it makes things strange, and it makes things difficult for us. At times, honoring God's instructions, honoring the warnings and the guidance that God gives to us, it makes us look like the kind of fools who would take up the work of building a boat in the middle of a desert field. This morning, God draws to mind the fools of faith who have come before us. This morning, God presents to us even God's own Son, Jesus Christ, who in the face of suffering and persecution, even to the point of death, chose to remain faithful to the calling that God had given him, for the joyful celebration that was yet to be revealed. In that faithfulness, Jesus has established a new way for us, a way of salvation that calls us into lives of peace and lives of meaningful service here in God's world. Today is our day to celebrate All Saints' Day. And as we celebrate communion this morning, and as we practice a candle ceremony to remember and to give thanks for the saints who have come before us, we have an opportunity to give thanks to God for the good example that our saints have been to us. And we have an opportunity to ask that God would continue to inspire us by the stories of the saints and their faith. People of God, as we seek to be faithful in our own lives, let us listen again to these words of encouragement from the book of Hebrews. The author writes to us saying, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ, who has given us the victory. Amen."
Thank you.